ॐ सहनाववतो सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ब्रह्म अनुचिन्तनम्। ब्रह्मानुचिन्तनम्। ब्रह्म अनुचिन्तनम्। ब्रह्मानुचिन्तनम्। अहमेव परं ब्रह्म वासुदेवाख्यमौयम् इति स्यात् निश्चितो मुक्तो बद्ध एवान्यथा भवेत्। अहमेव परं ब्रह्म निश्चितं चित्तचिन्त्यताम् चिद्रूपत्वादसङ्गत्वात् अबाध्यत्वात् प्रयत्नतः। अहमेव परं ब्रह्म न चाहं ब्रह्मणः पृथक् इत्येवं समुपासीत ब्राह्मणो ब्रह्मणि स्थितः। सर्वोपाधिविनिर्मुक्तम् सर्वोपाधिविनिर्मुक्तम् चैतन्यं च निरन्तरम् तद्ब्रह्माहमिति ज्ञात्वा कथं वर्णाश्रमी भवेत्। अहं ब्रह्मास्मि यो वेद स सर्वं भवति त्विदम् नाभूत्या ईशते देवाः तेषामात्मा भवेद्धि सः। अन्योऽसावहमन्योऽस्मीति उपास्तेऽन्यदेवताम् न स वेद नरो ब्रह्म स देवानां यथा पशुः। अहमात्मा न चान्योऽस्मि ब्रह्मैवाहं न शोकभाक् सच्चिदानन्दरूपोऽहम् नित्यमुक्तस्वभाववान्। आत्मानं सततं ब्रह्म संभाव्य विहरन्ति ये न तेषां दुष्कृतं किञ्चित् दुष्कृतोत्थान चापदः। ஆத்மானம் சததம் பிரம்ம சம்பாவ்ய விஹரேத் சுகம் க்ஷணம் ப்ரஹ்மாஹமஸ்மீதி யஃ குர்யாத் ஆத்ம சிந்தனம் தன்மஹா பாதகம் ஹந்தி தமஸ் சூர்யாதயோ யதா தமஸ் சூர்யோதயோ யதா தமஸ் சூர்யோதயோ யதா அஜ்ஞானாத் ப்ரஹ்மணோ ஜாதம் ஆகாஶம் புத்புதோபமம் ஆகாஷாத் வாயுருத்பன்னோ வாயோஸ்தேஜஸ்ததஃ பயஹ அத்யஸ்ச பிருத்விவீ ஜாதா தோ வ்ரீஹ்யவாதிகம் பிருத்திவ்யப்சு பயோவன்னௌ வன்னிர்வாயோ நபஸ்யஸௌ நபோப்யவ்யாக்ருதே தச்ச ப்யௌ வ்யாக்ருதே தச்ச சுத்தே சுத்தோஸ்ம்யஹம் ஹரிஹ சுத்தோஸ்ம்யஹம் ஹரிஹ அஹம் விஷ்ணுரஹம் விஷ்ணு அஹம் விஷ்ணுரஹம் ஹரிஹ கர்த்ருபோக்த்ராதிகம் சர்வம் தத்வித்யோத்தமேவ ச அச்சுதோஹமனந்தோஹம் கோவிந்தோஹமஹம் ஹரிஹ ஆனந்தோஹமசேஷோஹம் அஜோஹம் அம்ருதோஸ்ம்யஹம் நித்யோஹம் நிர்விகல்போஹம் நிராகாரோஹமௌயயஹ சச்சிதானந்தரூபோஹம் பஞ்சகோஷாதிகோஸ்ம்யஹம் அகர்த்தாஹமபோக்தாஹம் அசங்கப் பரமேஸ்வரஹ சதா மத் சந்நிதானேன சேஷ்டதே சர்வமிந்த்ரியம் ஆதி மத்யாந்த முக்தோஹம் ந பத்தோஹம் கதாச்சன ஸ்வபாவ நிர்மல சுத்தஹ ஸ ஏவாஹம் ந சம்ஶயஹ ப்ரஹ்மைவாஹம் ந சம்சாரீ ब्रह्मैवाहं न संसारी मुक्तोऽहमिति भावयेत् अशक्नुवन् भावयितुम् वाक्यमेतत् सदाभ्यसेत् यदभ्यासेन तद्भावो भवेद् भ्रमरकीटवत् अत्रापहाय सन्देहम् अभ्यसेत् कृतनिश्चयः ध्यानयोगेन मासैकात् ब्रह्महत्यां व्यपोहति संवत्सरं सदाभ्यासात् सिद्ध्यष्टकमवाप्नुयात् यावज्जीवं सदाभ्यासात् जीवन्मुक्तो भवेद्यति। नाहं देहो न च प्राणो नेन्द्रियाणि तथैव च नाहं देहो न च प्राणो नेन्द्रियाणि तथैव च न मनोऽहं न बुद्धिश्च नैव चित्तमहङ्कृतिः नाहं पृथ्वी न सलिलम् न च वह्निस्तथानिलः न चाकाशो न शब्दश्च न च स्पर्शस्तथा रसः नाहम् न च स्पर्शस्तथा रसः नाहं गन्धो न रूपं च न मायाहं न संसृतिः सदा साक्षिस्वरूपत्वात् शिव एवास्मि केवलः मय्येव सकलं जातम् मयि सर्वं प्रतिष्ठितम् मयि सर्वं प्रतिष्ठितम् मयि सर्वं लयं याति तद्ब्रह्मास्म्यहमद्वयम् तद्ब्रह्मास्म्यहमद्वयम् सर्वज्ञोऽहमनन्तोऽहम् सर्वेश सर्वशक्तिमान् ஆனந்த சத்யபோதோஹம். இதி ப்ரஹ்மானு சிந்தனம் சர்வஜ்ஞோஹம் அனந்தோஹம் சர்வேஷ சர்வசக்திமான் ஆனந்த சத்யபோதோஹம் இதி ப்ரஹ்மானு சிந்தனம். See, in this 25th verse, in the first line, Shankara Bhagavatpada makes it very clear. Ishvaraha Aham. Ishvaraha Aham. The second line, he states, Brahma Aham. அஹம் பிரம்மா. ஃபர்ஸ்ட் லைன் ஹீ சேஸ் அஹம் ஈஸ்வரஹ, செகண்ட் லைன் ஹீ சேஸ் அஹம் பிரம்ம அஸ்மி. வாட் இஸ் த டிஃபரன்ஸ் ஹியர்? யெஸ்டர்டே ஐ எக்ஸ்பிளைன்ட் ஆல்ரெடி, ஈஸ்வரஹ லிட்ரலி மீன்ஸ் த ரூலர். இட்ஸ் கம் ஃப்ரம் த ரூட் ஈஷ். ஈஷதே மீன்ஸ் ரூல்ஸ். இது ஈஷா, ஈஷா ஆர் ஈஸ்வரஹா, அதர் தாத்து. ஈஷதே இது ஈஸ்வரஹா, த ஒன் ஹூ ரூல்ஸ், அவர் ரூலர், விச் மீன்ஸ் த லார்ட் ஹூ இஸ் த ரூலர் ஆஃப் த ஹோல். இஸ் தர் அ ரூலர் ஆஃப் த ஹோல் காஸ்மாஸ்? We have rulers, kings, who are elective rulers, electively. There's nobody who is the ruler of the whole Jagat. We have some rulers in different areas, different parts of society. Who is the absolute ruler of everything? That absolute ruler of everything in Sanskritam known by the term Ishvaraha or Ishaha. And here it is made very clear, we always worship the Lord, we pray to the Lord. As a religious person, as a religious discipline, we follow, we worship and pray. We worship the Lord, we pray to the Lord, we invoke the grace of the Lord, we seek the grace of the Lord. For what? As a discipline. Discipline, when I say the word discipline, what is the discipline? Ultimately, physical discipline, oral discipline, any disciplines, ultimately to discipline the naturally indisciplined mind. Mind is naturally indisciplined. Indisciplined means what? The mind is always in a state of flux, is always agitated. And being indisciplined means being agitated, being restless. And it is the very nature of the mind. And converting this, the indisciplined mind into a disciplined mind is the purpose of practicing any discipline. In fact, there are disciplines pertaining to the associated with the physical body, discipline associated with the pertaining to the speech, and we also say with discipline associated with the thought also. Ultimately, any discipline is called a discipline if it contributes for disciplining the mind. The disciplined mind is means what? Absolutely disciplined mind is the mind which is absolutely peaceful. An absolutely peaceful mind is the absolutely disciplined mind. An absolutely peaceful mind means a mind which is absolutely undisturbed mind. A ever non-disturbable mind is the absolutely peaceful mind. The mind which cannot be disturbed at all means, what is that mind? The mind where there is total manifestation of knowledge, and that mind alone can say what? Total manifestation of knowledge means what? Where this knowledge of the existence of the self in terms of I am is complete with the knowledge of what I am in terms of Aham Brahma Asmi. Thereby the knowledge of the world is complete with the knowledge in terms of the world is Brahma. Thereby is a clear vision of Aham Idam Sarvam, I the Self am the whole. If this vision is there, you can say the mind endowed with this total knowledge, total manifestation of knowledge, where there is fullness, where there is happiness, and there is absolute peace. Because absolute peace means no emotion, no desire, no anger, no jealousy, no hate, etc. Nothing can be stirred and triggered, nothing can surface, because all the emotions are resolved for good because of the cause of those problems in terms of the smallness centered on I, the fundamental problem, etc., is resolved for good because of the wrong notions are resolved, because the root cause of the wrong notions in terms of ignorance is resolved for good. Okay, then the absolute peace is possible. Such a mind is called what? Absolutely disciplined mind. And until this knowledge takes place, for a person to be able to contemplate, to have the contemplative disposition of the mind, a mind must be relatively disciplined. And the relatively disciplined mind also is the mind where emotions are not resolved for good, but emotions are managed effortlessly. Thereby, a certain degree of relative purity and steadiness is possible, because that mind is relatively disciplined mind. And that mind can be a relatively disciplined mind only when a person lives a life of dharma. The person can live a life of dharma only when a person appreciates this Ishvara being manifest as the order. When a person lives one's life in conformity with the order, and without disturbing the order, being committed to live a life of values, it is possible for a person to have this relative mastery over emotions. Which means we can say the person who is committed to live a life of dharma, who lives a life of dharma, appreciating Ishvara being manifest as the order, and we can say that is such a person, we can say it is relative mastery or relative peace. The relatively peaceful mind is what? A relatively disciplined mind. And even for a person to be able to live a life of dharma, thereby to live in tune with Bhagavan, the Ishvara in the form of order, in harmony with Bhagavan in the form of order, to be able to live a life of dharma, one needs strength, and for which one can invoke the grace to have the strength to be able to live a life of dharma, for which prayer and worship also is there. Therefore, prayer and worship also, praying to the Lord, in worshipping the Lord, is also what? A religious discipline practiced for disciplining the mind, thereby to become qualified for the knowledge. One has to become relatively disciplined in order to become absolutely disciplined. One has to become relatively qualified for jnanam in order to have contemplative disposition of the mind, thereby to have the assimilated vision, to enjoy the benefit of the vision in terms of moksha. Is it clear? Therefore, worship, but when you are given to the discipline of worshipping the Lord, praying to the Lord, for you, even though we understand all that is, there is only the Lord, still your Lord is different from you, the worshipper. Lord is different from you, the one who is praying to the Lord. In fact, prayer and worship is possible only if there is kartrutvam and bhoktrutvam. Only if there is still the duality is there. Prayer and worship is not possible. And this prayer and worship should culminate in the vision of Bhagavan being the whole, wherein you resolve one's own self being the whole, which is the vision of which, the wake-up vision of which, you resolve the essence, the individuality in Brahma. You resolve the Jagat in Brahma, resolve Ishvara also in Brahma. That is the final culmination of all the efforts, all practicing all disciplines. But here, when the question of understanding the fact comes, what is the fact? All that is here is only Brahma. You see, all that is here is only Brahma. It means there is no second reality, parallel reality other than Brahma. There is no second thing other than Brahma. All that is here is only the absolute, abstract, subtlest reality, the pure consciousness, the pure knowledge implied by the terms Brahma in terms of its nature of limitlessness. Only Brahma. Here we have to even resolve this Ishvara. To have this vision, this is a fact. This is a fact. And in order, when the question of understanding this fact comes, you understand first of all what the reality is. And for us, this Pramanam called Upanishad helps us understand this reality of the whole is, even though all that is there is only reality, still reality is available for recognition only as the Swarupam, the truth of the subject of knowledge, the knower, I. And having arrived at the reality as the Swarupam of I, and you understand, when you arrive at the reality also, you arrive at the reality in terms of its nature of knowing alone first. There's no way of arriving at the reality in any other form. When you arrive at the reality, We recognize the reality as a surupam of the I, as a truth of the knower. You arrive at it only, understand it only in terms of its nature of knowing, thereby known by the implied by the terms chit, jnanam, chaitanyam, etc. And then you understand it is that the reality obtaining in the form of pure consciousness is the pure existence also. Pure existence means without the existence unassociated with any form, name and function is pure existence. Existence unassociated with any form, name and function is pure existence. This abstract pure knowledge is the pure existence. And if this pure existence is of nature of limitlessness, therefore implied by the term Brahma. And thereby you also see, you understand not only this knower subjective knowledge is resolved in through the consciousness, even the entire objective universe. Be careful when you say entire objective universe, including one's own body, mind, sense complex, which inclusive of one's own body, mind, sense complex, also resolvable in the same reality, which means this jagat also is same Brahma. Not only the subjective knowledge is resolvable in Brahma, the objective knowledge also in terms of this inexplicably vast cosmos, the objective universe inclusive of your own body, mind's complex also resolvable in the same Brahma. The standpoint of the reality, the Brahma, the consciousness, there is no subject-object division. There is no knower known division, knower known duality. Aham idam, division or different duality is not there. Therefore, the difference is mithya. Divisions are mithya. We understood. Now, the next question is, what is that which is known as Ishvara? What is that which is known by the term Ishvara or the Lord, the God? Because we've been worshipping, we have been praying to the Lord, we've been invoking the grace of the Lord, and we know we're living a life of Dharma is so much emphasized. Because living a life of Dharma means living a life in conformity with, in tune with this order, not disturbing the order. And we say not disturbing the order means living in harmony with Bhagavan, which means, and we've been talking about invoking the grace of Bhagavan, Ishvara. And what is this Bhagavan, what is this Ishvara, what is this God? Of course there is Ishvara in terms of the order, universal, natural, moral law and order. It is also manifestation of knowledge. Now here, another important fact is what? Not only I, the knower, am the consciousness, Brahma, even the known objective universe inclusive of body, mind, complex also is Brahma. Now Ishvara is also Brahma. Therefore, not only Aham Brahma Asmi means Aham the whole Jagat, Aham Idam Sarvam, and Aham Ishvaraha. I the Self am the reality which enjoys the status of being the Lord. What is it which enjoys the status of being the Lord? there is nothing which can enjoy the status of being the Lord other than the truth, other than the reality, obtaining in the home of pure knowledge. So Ishvara is only a temporary qualification, title attributed to the same reality, Brahma, from the standpoint of the manifest universe, the standpoint of manifestation. Yesterday I explained to you in the class, the power, the reality is endowed with the power, means it is inseparable from the power. When you see the stillness of water, definitely there's stillness. You cannot find and search for the meaning of the word stillness without the water. With reference to the stillness of water, you have to understand the stillness only in terms of water. Stillness of water means, is there a meaning, can there be a meaning of the word stillness, the noun stillness, without the water? Similarly here, the power of reality is inseparable from the reality, and the power of reality is unmanifest. Unmanifest means non-recognizable. The power of reality is recognizable only when it is manifest. And this power of reality known by the term Ajnanam, Avidya, Maya, etc. This power of reality manifest is what? Manifestation of knowledge. The power of reality unmanifest is ignorance. This manifestation of knowledge, and only then the universe comes to light, universe shines. Therefore, this universe comes into manifestation, being unmanifest. The universe becoming manifest is called, is looked upon as creation. This manifest universe becoming unmanifest, from being manifest, becoming unmanifest, is looked upon as dissolution. And in between, there is, universe is looked upon as said to be enjoying the existence. Therefore, we saw this universe, if Aham Brahma Asmi, the universe is in, universe comes into manifestation, exists in Brahman, results in Brahman, means you can say the whole universe originates in me, the Brahma, enjoys existence in me, the Brahma, and dissolves in me, the Brahma. Which means there is no creator other than Brahma. From the standpoint of the universe, manifestation of universe, we this creator status is attributed to the reality, then Ishvara status is attributed to the reality. The standpoint of the universe, you say, look at this, this power of reality is looked upon as the material cause of the universe. From the standpoint of the universe, the reality, the obtaining of consciousness is looked upon as the intelligent cause of the universe. And two inseparable causes, intelligent, material cause of the universe, are nothing but one and the only reality. Therefore, reality is given the Ishvara status. Abhinna nimitta upadana karanatvat. Ishvaraha. This uchyate, it is looked, given the status only from the standpoint of the manifestation, not from the standpoint of the consciousness. Is it clear now? The standpoint of consciousness, Brahma, Brahman is not Ishvara, not material cause, not the intelligent cause. From which standpoint, you have to be very careful. And the same Brahman is also given three different names as Ishvara. The Ishvara status is attributed to Brahma, and three different functional names also given to Brahma as Ishvara. As Hiranyagarbha, Brahma, Virat Vishnu, Antaryami Ishvara Shivaha. is fine. Which means there is no Ishvara other than Brahma. So when we look at the same reality, when you see the reality as the one endowed with the power, and then you can say what? Reality is powerful. When you say the reality is powerful, then powerful is the ruler, Lord. So, okay? Therefore, Ishvara's status is attributed to the reality from the standpoint of the power. Then you can say what? Powerful reality is Shaktimat Brahma. You simply say reality is all it is, there's only reality. Looking at power as mithya, you say Brahma. Powerful reality, Shaktimat Brahma, then you give Ishvara status. Okay? And when you say powerful, you call it Sagunam Brahma. It is again seeing, isn't it? A perspective. When you look at, see this reality being endowed with the power, and see reality as the powerful reality, Shaktimat Brahma, then you give Ishvara status, then you call what? Sagunam Brahma. Sagunam Brahma means Shaktimat Brahma. Shaktimat Brahma means the reality endowed with the power is called Sagunam Brahma. Is it clear? Or if you say, what Shakti? Shakti is Brahma. Resolve the Shakti as Mithya in the reality. You just say what is only the reality. You can call it what? Pure consciousness. You can call it what? Nirgunam Brahma. Is it clear now? There is no such thing called Nirgunam Brahma and Sagunam Brahma. What is only reality. Only reality, which is of the nature of limitlessness, is implied by the term Brahma, is given, again, implied with two different words, Sagunam Brahma and Nirgunam Brahma. What does it mean? If you look at the reality as the one endowed with the power, look at this powerful reality, Shaktimat Brahma, then you give a different name, what? Sagunam Brahma. So, Sagunam Brahma is another term for Ishvaraha. Is it clear now? And you say, oh, just the what is there is, where reality is, power is non-countable. Reality is, when you say, to distinguish it from Sagunam Brahma, you can say Nirgunam Brahma. Okay? Nirgunam Brahma is Brahma. Sagunam Brahma is Brahma. And Aham that Brahma. I am that Brahma. Now you resolved everything in Brahma and you finally say what? I am that Brahma. Aham Brahma Asmi. Which means, who is Ishvara? Aham Ishvaraha. Is it clear? When you say Aham Ishvaraha, you have already resolved your essence in abstract reality, obtaining in the form of pure consciousness. The pure existence. Is it clear? Therefore, now it is, you see here, the first line, Shankara Bhagavatpada discusses, says, Aham Sagunam Brahma. Aham Sagunam Brahma means Aham Ishwaraha. The second line he says what? Aham Nirgunam Brahma means Aham Brahma. Aham Sagunam Brahma means what? Aham Ishwaraha. Aham Nirgunam Brahma means what? Aham Brahma. Is it, you know? So Sagunam Brahma Ahamasmi, Nirgunam Brahma Ahamasmi, Ishwaraha Ahamasmi, Jagat Ahamasmi, Sarvam Ahamasmi. And that Aham, which is everything, is what? Aham Brahma Asmi. Let's see this now. Sarvajnyoham Anantoham. Sarvesha Sarvashaktiman. Ananda Satyabodhoham. Iti Brahmanu Chintanam. For Sarvajnyaha Aham. Sarvajnyaha means, Jnya is the root to mean to know. Sarvam janati iti sarvajnah. Knows everything, for knower of everything. Knower of everything means all knowing. All knowing means omniscient. Who is omniscient here? Isn't it? With the reality endowed with the power of knowing is the all knowing. So sarvajna aham. If it means Ishvara is the only source of all, Ishvara is the all knowing, and all knowing Ishvara is the very reality obtaining in the form of pure knowledge, the only source of all knowledge. For sarvajna aham, and I am that Ishvara. Aham sagunam brahma, aham shaktimat brahma. I myself am the reality endowed with the power of knowing. I myself am. When you say you place the I in consciousness, then you can say what? I myself am the powerful reality, shaktimat brahma, sagunam brahma, ended with the power of knowing. Thereby I myself am the all-knowing, omniscient Ishvara. Because I myself am consciousness, the only source of all knowledge. Therefore, aham sarvajnaha, aham anantaha, anantaha aham. Anantaha means what? There's nothing in the world which can limit the consciousness. Every object, every form endowed, indicated by any word, serving any given purpose, is limited by every other form denoted by its corresponding word serving its own purpose. Every form denoted by its corresponding word serving given purpose is limited by every other form denoted by its corresponding word serving a given purpose. There is nothing which is not limited by anything, everything. Everything here is limited by everything. Every object is limited by everything. Every object is limited by every other object. Okay? Every object is limited by every other object. And every object being limited by every other object is also limited by time and space also. Therefore, every object here is subject to time limitation, spatial limitation, object limitation. And you say every object is limited by every other object means every other object is subject to time limitation, object limitation, spatial limitation means we have to say time itself, time also is subject to time limitation, space also subject to time limitation. Which means there's nothing here which is not subject to limitation. Everything has limitation. And if at all there's something, one thing which alone is not subject to any limitation, means even which is not subject to time limitation or spatial limitation or object limitation, means therefore is said to be of the nature of limitlessness, is implied by the term anantaha. Anantaha is a word implying what is implied by the word Brahma. Okay? When you want to know what is the meaning of the word Brahma, this word anantam is a commentary upon the word Brahma. We say Brahma means that which is big. How big it is? Limitlessly big. How limitlessly big it is? Time-wise limitless, spatially limitless, object-wise limitless, therefore limitlessly big. The word Brahma is further commented upon by the word Anantam. If the word Anantam is not there, you cannot understand actually what is implied by the term Brahma. Is it clear? Therefore, Anantam, Anantaha, Aham Anantaha, I myself am the limitless reality, all powerful reality, the only source of all knowledge, I am the omniscient Lord. Aham Sarveshaha, therefore there is no Lord of anything other than the Self, other than myself. Aham Sarveshaha, I myself am the Lord of everything. You say, I myself am the Lord of everything. Where do you place your eye sense? You've already negated your body, mind and complex as object of knowledge. No more you can place eye in body, mind and complex. And you are resolved, I itself is not a God. What expresses I is not even a tangible form. It's already intangible, subtle phenomenon of thought, and that I is also you are resolving in consciousness, pure abstract reality. There's no I in consciousness. So what I itself am the Lord of everything. Sarveshaha. Why? Sarvashakti. Timon. Tell me, all the powers, all the powers obtaining in every form, any power, any capacity, any capability, anything appreciated in any form everywhere, all of them are manifestations of the one and the only power of reality. Only power of the only reality. Therefore, Almighty I am, Omniscient Lord I am, Omnipotent also I am. Sarvashaktiman means what? I myself am the Omnipotent. I myself am the Omniscient Lord. You say Omnipotent, Almighty. What is Almighty? Lord. Almighty Lord. This verse says you are the Almighty. Almighty means Omnipotent. Sarvashaktiman. You must get a lot of strength. Sarvashaktiman. Almighty, Omnipotent Lord. There's no potency. No such a thing called potency, potentiality outside of I, outside of consciousness. Any potentiality, any potency you recognize anywhere is not outside of the truth. And I myself am the truth ended with all powerful. Okay? All powerful, almighty, omnipotent Lord am I. So Sarvajnaha, Sarveshaha, Sarvashaktiman. Three words. If you do not know what you are, if the I is still identified with the body, mind, and complex, then what becomes? Sarvajnaha will become Alpajnaha. Sarvashaktiman will become Alpashaktiman. And Sarveshaha becomes Sarvadasaha. Is it clear? So, Aham Sarvajnaha. Say now, அஹம் சர்வஜ்ஞஹ அஹம் சர்வேஷ அஹம் சர்வசக்திமான். I am the only source of all knowledge, I the self, I am the only source of all powers, all strength. I am the all powerful. Once you have all knowledge and all might and all knowledge you have, and who else can be the Lord? So to have the status of being the Lord, you need two things: all knowledge and all strength, all might. Is it sarvashaktimatvam, sarvajnyatvam? Have said Janima. Sarvajnyatvam, sarvashaktimatvam, is what now? Sarvaishitvam. So overlordship is possible called Aishwaryam. Okay? Aishwaryam means overlordship. Overlordship is possible only when you are all powerful, almighty and omnipotent. Okay? Therefore, aham sarvajnaha, aham sarvashaktiman, aham sarveshaha, and this aham anantaha. Now he says, next line, because I already mentioned the word anantaha, now he wants to talk about Brahma. So what does he do? Now he can't reuse the same word. Now he says anandaha. Instead of saying anantaha, he is anandaha. Now anandaha aham. Anandaha aham. See, nandati is a verb. Okay? Nandadatu. Nandati is the verb. Nandaha means joy. Joy. Anandaha means non-arriving, non-departing, everlasting joy, which is happiness. So happiness is not something which comes and goes. Happiness is something always. That's why anandaha means what? Nandaha is joy. Anandaha means the non-arriving, non-departing, everlasting happiness is anandaha, which means it is happiness and reality are not two different things. Happiness implies fullness. Fullness implies limitlessness. Happiness implies what? Fullness implies limitlessness. It means fullness and inadequacy cannot coexist. What am I now? I, the self, am the reality which is of the nature of fullness. Therefore, free from inadequacy. I, the self, am of the nature of ever happiness. Means I am happiness. Okay? I am happiness. Aham anandaha. Don't say anandi. Okay? Anandaha. I the self am happiness. I the self am of the nature of happiness. No, satya bodaha. Bodaha. Budh means to be aware. To be aware. To know. So bodha means knowledge. Bodha means knowledge. Here, the consciousness and existence being one and the same, not two different things, is implied by one word, revealed by one word, satya bodha. So I myself am the pure awareness which is of the nature of existence, which is of the nature of self-existence. Even yesterday I said this very important. How can we say this pure awareness or pure consciousness is of the nature of self-existence? Because when nothing else is there also, what is by itself independently is what? Awareness, consciousness. This awareness is, awareness is. Awareness is means awareness enjoys existence. Awareness enjoys existence means awareness enjoys existence of its own. How do you say awareness enjoys existence of its own? Because there's nothing else to lend existence to awareness. When nothing is there, also what is that which enjoys existence of its own. And so what is self-existence now? When nothing else is there, awareness alone is. Awareness alone is means awareness enjoys existence. Knowledge of the existence of self in terms of I am is not there. Knowledge of the existence of the world in terms of the world is not there. The world doesn't shine. The world is unmanifest. No division is there. No ajati bheda is there. Vijatiya bheda is not there. Sogata bheda is not there. Nothing is there. Nothingness is experienced. But nothingness is experienced. There's an experiencer non-distant from the experienced nothingness. There's an experiencer of the total ignorance. And that experiencer is only a status attributed to the reality. And that experiencer is none other than the pure awareness, pure consciousness. You say consciousness is, when nothing is also, there's awareness is. Is means awareness enjoys its own existence. Your awareness, the consciousness is of the nature of self-existence. Therefore, it's called what now? Satya Bodha. It is this pure awareness which is of the nature of self-existence being the only truth also. There is no truth other than the reality which is of the nature of self-existence. If it said Satya Bodha, and what am I? I am the pure awareness which is of the nature of self-existence. I myself am the reality obtaining in the form of pure awareness which is of the nature of self-existence and which is of the nature of fullness, limitlessness, thereby happiness. Anandaha satyabodhaha aham iti brahma anuchintanam. When nothing shines, there's awareness of nothing being there, and that awareness is what? Satya Bodha. Understand? Bodha means knowledge. Bodha means implies consciousness. Bodha also implies what? Pure awareness. Okay? And so you can simply, you can say Bodha means what? Even knowledge. Like it manifests knowledge also can be there. Therefore, Satya Bodha. So differentiate manifest pure knowledge from manifest knowledge, it's simultaneously what? Satya Bodha. That's why teacher is called Bodhakaha. Bodhika. And the wise person is called Buddhaha. Buddhaha means what? The one who is aware of awareness. Not nothingness. One who is aware of the awareness is Buddhaha in Vedanta. The one who is aware of nothingness also is called Buddhaha. Maybe he is aware of awareness. The followers are aware. I don't know what it is. Understand? And in Tamil, somebody dull bit is called Buddhu, not Buddhaha. Understand? Buddhaha. Buddha is a past participle. It comes in the form of noun. So Buddhaha means the one who is aware. The one who is aware is Buddhaha. And Bodhanam means what? Bodhanam means bringing awareness. Okay, bringing awareness is called what? Bodhanam. The listener is not aware of the awareness. The teacher's job is to help the student arrive at the awareness with the help of the Shastra. Not one by one, telling one's own stories. Is it clear now? The teacher has to unfold the words of the Shastra, thereby help the student who is unaware of the awareness arrive at the awareness. Okay? Bodhanam means bring awareness. Teaching. Bringing awareness means what? Teaching. Giving vision. Bodhanam. Buddhihi means instrument of becoming aware. Instrument of being aware. Instrument of knowing, knowledge is buddhihi. Buddhihi is noun. Bodhanam is gerund. Bodhate is verb. Bodhayati is causative verb. Bodha means knowledge. Okay? Now here you understand what? Aham satya bodhaha asmi. I itself am pure awareness, which is of the nature of self-existence. Thereby, which is the meaning of the word existence. Absolute existence. Why it is satyam? Because it never comes and goes. Trikala abadhitam satyam. There is never a time it is not there, but that which is free from past, present and future. It is threefold, three periods of time. What now? Satya bodhaha. Okay? See, the awareness, the consciousness, which is free from past, present and future, which is always there, is the nature of existence, absolute existence. The world enjoys relative existence. That's why we say the world is empirically real. Everything is empirically real. But what is absolutely real is Brahma. And aham that Brahma asmi. Now we have cognitively, intellectually resolved the essence, resolved the whole jagat, resolved the Ishwaraha also. Having resolved everything, at last we can say what? I the self am ஆனந்தஹ சத்யபோதஹ அஸ்மி. This is called dwelling upon, contemplating upon the truth, obtaining truth implied by the term Brahma, obtaining as one's own real nature. That is called Swaroopa Anusandhanam. சர்வஜ்ஞோஹமனந்தோஹம் சர்வேஷ சர்வசக்திமான் ஆனந்த சத்யபோதோஹம் இதி ப்ரஹ்மானுசிந்தனம். ஓம் பூர்ணமத் பூர்ணமிதம் பூர்ணாத் பூர்ணமுதச்யதே பூர்ணஸ்ய பூர்ணமாதாய பூர்ணமேவ அவசிஷ்யதே. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்திஹி. ஹரிஹி ஓம் தத் சத். ஸ்ரீ குருப்யோ நமஹ. ஹரிஹி ஓம்.